Psalm 32, a psalm of David, reads, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you. While you may be found, surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Blessed is he, says the psalmist, whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed. Word we don't use all that often, certainly outside of Christian circles. We don't necessarily even use it all that much in Christian circles. But what is this word? Blessed. It's certainly not lucky. Nor is it even, dare I say, that sometimes it seems Christian alternative to lucky that simply says, well, but it just worked out well. Not even is it happy. Because blessed means more than that. Blessed speaks of a settled state of well-being. A well-being that has been brought about not by our actions, but by the action of our God. So when we wish someone blessings, as those who receive communication from me will often see at the bottom of it, every blessing. We're not simply saying to them, be lucky or be happy. Or that word has come to my mind now, the Christian equivalent, fortunate. I sometimes smile at the number of Christians who, oh, we'd never say lucky, oh, but we've been very fortunate. No. When we speak of blessing or blessedness, we are speaking of that state that we have been brought into before God, that place of settled peace and well-being. So the psalmist here says that blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. We've all transgressed. We've all sin. David, goodness, knew that only too well. And he continues in the psalm and he speaks, as it were, of the weight that not only hung upon his shoulders, but seeped the strength from his very body as the weight of his own transgressions bore down upon his soul. Because many of us, not all of us, are aware of what was really at the heart of that. It was not only his adultery, but then his attempt to cover up the adultery with murder. And yet God knew. And God sent Nathan the prophet to confront David and confronted the Spirit of God, brought David to true conviction. And here in Psalm 32, it's very clearly David looking back over that time in his life and realizing the blessing that came through forgiveness. No longer his sins were a cover-up. No, says David. His sins were covered. Covered. Isn't that the way so often? It happens. It happens, no doubt, in all areas of life. When something has happened that shouldn't have happened, there's a cover-up. But you know, cover-ups have got a way of breaking down. And as someone once said, the truth will out. What David speaks of here is not a cover-up for sin, but of sins that are actually covered. He continues, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. You know, elsewhere in the Psalms, in Psalm 51, which again is David's response to when Nathan came and confronted him of his sin there, he makes clear that ultimately it's God that each and every one of us have wronged in our sin, whatever form that sin has been. It's God we've wronged. And God is a God who is just. But David says here, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. And even in these first two verses, friends, there's good news. There's good news that tells us that even though we sin, there is a God who is able to forgive our sins. And through that forgiveness that can come only from him, to be able to bring us into that place of a settled position of being right with him. But what leads to that? What leads to it? Well, David says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, day and night, your hand was heavy, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. You know how it is. You're out on a hot day, you know, perhaps by the middle of the afternoon, your energy's gone. David says this is what his guilt was doing to him. So what did he do? Instead of keeping silent and covering it up, David says in verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. As I was preparing this message and preparing the order of service, I simply gave to this message the title, and you forgave. It's as if David is reflecting and marveling on the fact that yes, God forgave him. God brought forgiveness to him. He could even have had another title. The other title could have been covered, not covered up. But David has spoken here of the need, as it were, first to acknowledge his sin, and then to confess his sin. And then everything that follows on is the realization of the blessing that comes from having confessed that sin. God forgave his sin. And David in turn says to people, so pray to God. Let everyone who is godly pray to you. where you may be found. No matter what comes, no matter what we face, when we know that God is the one who has covered us, there is safety, there is shelter. Those lovely songs that we sung this evening, we sung, "Hide Me Now Under Your Wing." We sung, "You Are My Hiding Place." Hymns that remind us of that place of rest and peace that is ours in the Lord Jesus. The remaining verses of Psalm 32 say that these are the things we should learn. This is the way that we should live. If man lives by his own way, verse 10, then many will be his woes. But for the one who trusts in God, God surrounds him with his unfailing love. Friends, why would we ever want to cover up our sin when there's a God who is able to cover our sins? But what does that actually mean in practice? Does it mean that simply God covers them in the way that sometimes you find perhaps a stain on a wall? I don't have any personal experience of this, but I know someone who has, and it was a stain that had been caused by dampness. And I don't know how many different products they tried to put on that wall to block out the dampness. A whole variety of different products. But sooner or later, the stain kept reappearing. The reality is, the stain would only stop when the source of dampness was removed. And friends, when we speak of God covering our sin, it's not that God, just instead of us, does a cover-up. In order for, as it were, our sin to be covered, God himself was the one who acted. He was the one who acted in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world. He came into this world and gave himself for us. Not simply to do a cover-up, but instead to deal with the source of the problem. To deal with our sin that separates us from God. Jesus came into this world and he himself died on the cross as an offering for sin. And when God the Father accepted that offering, that sacrifice which Jesus himself offered there on Calvary, that offering became the basis for the forgiveness for each and every one who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. No matter what the sin. You can sometimes think, oh, well, I've never done a sin like David. I've never done the things David did. You know, there's a wee bit of the human mind that likes to play that game. Well, I might be bad. I'm not as bad as that one. I might have done things I'm not proud of, but I've never done the things that person's done. You know, sin is sin. But the wonderful thing about the gospel is it doesn't just say my really bad sins on him were laid. Or everything but just the wee white lies on him were laid. No, all our iniquities on him were laid. Do you know what that means, dear one? That means for the one who is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, every sin that you or I have ever committed has been paid for by Christ. And the Father says that payment was full payment. And forgiveness is ours. In Romans chapter 4, Paul was, was trying to spell out the difference between the way in the past that faith was credited as righteousness to Abraham, and that's how it worked in the Old Testament. But you know, it never worked by works. It was their faith that was credited to them. And as people were trying to be justified by works and by doing the right things, that, well, Paul says in Romans chapter 4, now when a man works, his wages aren't credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. Can you see the picture that Paul's painting here? Can you imagine you've worked a 40 or a 50 hour week and you have given every bit of your energy for your employer? And then he comes to you on a Friday, and in your pay envelope, there's a wee bit gift wrap and a wee card. And the impression's being given that he's giving you your wages as a gift. You're saying, no, I worked for them. I worked for them. Well, in the same ways as Paul. When a man works, his wages aren't credited to him as a gift. It's an obligation. He deserves to get them. But the man who doesn't work but trusts God, who justifies, that means declares righteous, the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. And then Paul actually goes on and says, David says the same thing. When he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. So whether we're in Psalm 32 or Romans 4, whether we're in Old Testament or New Testament, the message is the same. The blessedness of knowing that our sins are forgiven is the gift of God to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A gift that's appropriated by us through faith, but received as a gracious gift from God. Are we like David? Are we able to say, you forgave the guilt of my sin? You forgave it? That's what God does for all who look and turn to him. Not because we are worth it, but because Jesus Christ, his Son, already paid that price when he died, suffered for our sins. And that's why I'll keep on quoting the words of that wonderful hymn, When Peace Like a River, until I find a better way of expressing it. But until I do find a better way, I will keep on quoting it. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin. Not in part, but the whole. Is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Do you know that blessedness? Do you know that blessedness of knowing that it is well with your soul? Because of what Jesus has done on Calvary. Can we say with that same wonder that David says, you forgave. And you forgave. Friends, as we come to the table this evening and we've thought about, yes, covered rather than covered up. The covering is the covering of Christ's righteousness. Covering us. So that when he looks at me, as the old chorus says, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. That's the covering. But let us come to this table. And with wonder in our hearts, remind ourselves, and you forgave. He's forgiven us What joy, what blessedness is there.